for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903.
This is the 2007 Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, August the 31st, 2007. Philip Fields is the speaker of this service, teaching on Time to Get Real.
Well, there's so many good things to say about what has already taken place here tonight. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of that? Okay. Last week I preached at a church, African-American church. And you're lucky to hear yourself when you're preaching in an African-American church. I mean, by the time the amens and everything else finish, you're lucky to be, you know, get your word in. So, hey, I'm okay with participation. Just let me know where you're at, all right? My favorite one, they said, I can't get no help in here. So, listen, if you're going to say amen or fall asleep, fall forward. At least I'll think you're with me, okay? Oh, I have so much to learn. How about you? So much to learn. My heart is so blessed to be here with you. I respect you. I honor you and I honor the leadership of this ministry. Watching him hold that offering and pray.
Amen.
For 37 years. Fighting for freedom in the lives of the saints. Isn't that powerful? That's a heritage, sir. And we thank you for paving that trail. We really thank you. I know because I'm on that trail right now. We've decided that we are going to put together a retreat for people to come to, not just to come out and, you know, see if you can get a blessing. But the Lord gave us a mandate earlier this year, minister until. And I said, Lord, you want to finish that sentence for me? He said, no, you minister until. And so, in June of this year, we started our ministry and we went 30 days. Day in the morning and at night, we continued to minister until. And it means something different for everybody. But what God has called us to do is to set up a place where people can come until. And it's a tough mandate because it'd be a whole lot easier for me to pop around the country, throw out a little seed, and show up back home with some money in my pocket and just keep kind of doing the same thing over and over. But the Lord has called us into a place of discipleship, and that discipleship is with the broken. It's not with a guy who doesn't think he needs a doctor. It's with a guy who knows he does. It's a tough call. It's a real tough call. And so Get Real Ministries was birthed out of this gutsy approach to walk with people all the way through. And so people are calling us and they're coming to us from all over the country already. And people have moved to Emory, Texas. You probably don't even know where it is.
You do.
Our friend Jerry does. All right. And so people are coming because the Lord is doing something. It's not because I moved there. It's because He's doing something. And families are joining us, just like what he said. And it amazes me how God can unfold things and cause things to happen in people's lives. And what I'm aware of is that I'm just a vessel in that process. And the most important thing that you learn as a vessel is you learn how to yield with the flow. Not how to control it, but how to yield to it. There's a big difference, okay? Tonight, what I want to do is I want to just begin a process of talking to you about how the Lord transformed my life. And that process is really, really simple. What I realized in my walk with the Lord after about 20 years of professional Christianity, you know what that means? I did all the right things, said all the right things, knew how to dance the dance. Oh, come on, somebody. Find it in there somewhere. I knew how to say it. I knew how to talk it. I knew how to even walk it as if you thought I knew what I was doing. But when my life began to fall apart, something happened inside of me. And I had to look at some very deep things in my life. And God transformed me. I stand before you a live, healthy man today because of God's transforming power. I take absolutely no credit for what happened in my life. It was an act of grace. And anybody that comes back from the dead will tell you the same thing. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. And my lovely wife is here with me tonight, Darlena. My mother-in-law who helped pray me through that crisis in the back. Matthew and his lovely wife, Leslie and Stephanie. And I think that's pretty much everybody. And I got four kids somewhere running around on this campground. With somebody as an adult. I don't think they're there. But we're so glad to be here to serve you tonight. Do you believe God will change you?
Yes.
I believe He will. I'm thankful that Ish called me and said, you need to come up to this camp. And you need to see what they're doing up here and get in on it. And I'm thankful to Glenn for inviting me to come. I'm learning something already. If you have your Bible, you might want to flip it open to Jeremiah 2. Just hold your finger right there in Jeremiah 2. If you're interested in getting this teaching, we put it in a booklet form. It's in the back. We have some other teaching tapes back there. If you're interested in connecting with our ministry, we have some handouts about where we are and what's going on. We actually do what we call a teleconference a couple times a week. It's a live service that you can get in on just by listening to it by phone. It's kind of a new thing to me, talking into a phone and people hearing what we're doing. And it's pretty cool. All that stuff is in the back. There's a big difference in our lives when God shows up. Do you understand that? Do you believe that? You know, I'm realizing that if the Lord doesn't show up in what you're doing, you'd better pack up and go home. Tonight I want to talk to you about not just changing, because we throw that word around a lot, don't we? We talk about the need for change. We talk a lot about we ought to change, and we have our list. And we could probably sit down in a moment, if someone gave us a little truth serum, we'd be honest about the changes we need to make in our life. But when it comes to the power to make the change, I think that's where we struggle. And so what I want to talk to you tonight is about the power to be changed. Not just to change, but the power to be changed. In my 20 plus years of living, I'll stop there, I have learned that I can't change myself. I have learned that I can't change others, even though sometimes I really see the need for it. You notice she ain't looking at me. I have realized I have no power to change myself. The only way that I am changed is when this earthen vessel is filled with the source of God, the Holy Spirit. The only time I've been able to move forward in life and begin to participate in the will of God is when He fills me. And so I think we've gotten it wrong in the church because we have so many times talked about the expectations of what we ought to be fulfilling and how we ought to be living and all the things we should be doing and how separate we should be from evil and all these things. But we have lost sight of the fact that it is the infilling touch of God's Spirit in our life that actually gives us the power to change. How many of you realize you can't deliver yourself? You ain't going to cast your flesh out. I've tried. Be gone. Oh. When you begin to discover that God is interested in filling you and making you someone altogether different, You are known in heaven after a supernatural position on this earth. Why settle for what you can put together with human hands? If God has a call on your life to be a representative of His gospel, don't you know that that includes the supernatural power of God? Now, you may be like me. For years, I had psychologized that one away. You know what happened? I got too much education. Because that's what I was told to do. Get yourself an education. And I did. And so, what I was able to do was rationalize all this stuff that we see in the church, the movement of God, the power of God. I put all of that away, and result, I ended up with what I had between here. How many of you realize, shake it around a little bit, there ain't so much up there. I mean, if you jump up and down enough, you can actually hear it shake. There's not enough to face the trials, to lead the pace, to do the thing that God has called you to do up here. He is needing us to be filled with Him. Peter said it like this: He became a partaker of divine nature. Wow. 2 Peter 1:3. A partaker of divine nature. Why would you settle for your best effort when you can have the flow of divine nature in your life? See, I realized in my life that there were so many things that I knew that God was calling me to. I knew that He had a call on my life. I knew that He wanted me to fulfill my destiny. I knew that that destiny represented the supernatural race of His people. And I knew that there was a place for me in the body of Christ. But so many times, I found myself falling short of that. Have you ever been on this highway? It's the same stuff, the same path, the same pain, the same misery, the same sights, the same place. The more you stay on it, the longer you go on it, the more you're like, "Oh, am I here again?" Anybody? Yeah, you know what it's like. You know what it's like because you can smell it, you can see it, you can feel it. I mean, for some of us, we've been on this path so long, we can drive with our eyes closed. I know the way to misery. Right down the road, right? But God wants to change you. God wants to change you. And in order for Him to change you, there needs to be an encounter between you and God. I call it God encounters of the personal kind. You know? I mean, when God shows up, it's kind of like what Glenn was talking about earlier. When God shows up, everything in your life stops, and it's like, wham! Now, what do we do? Well, in order to go forward, we're going to need more of Him. More impartation. More filling. More realization inside of myself. That He is who He says He is. Do you understand where I'm going with this? See, the Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to get to Jeremiah eventually. But he said this in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are being lost, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God." Being saved. It's a continual work. It's not a one-time shot. It's not a running up to the altar, getting your fire insurance, and hoping you squeeze into eternity. Do you understand that the gospel that Jesus preached was a kingdom gospel? And that kingdom was something that He opened the door to in the present. It's not something that you collect on when you get there. It's something that you can participate in now. You can have it now. You can have the intervention of God in your life today. Do you want that? Are you hungry for that? I'm hungry for that. I pray over a lot of sick people. And up until my crash that took place about 7 years ago, my prayers were real easy. Some got it, some didn't. Okay, next. I couldn't relate to that. You know, my personal opinion was, even when my own wife got sick, you know, try a little harder. You can get out of the ditch. I know if you try a little harder, you don't have to be depressed. I know if you try a little harder, you don't have to be down. I know if you try a little harder, you can have a little more faith. That was my attitude. Because that's what I was taught as a kid. If you've got a problem in your life, effort will change it. That's a pretty lethal thing to go through life thinking that somehow you are responsible for your own destiny. And so I had very little compassion for the people who were hurting in my family and in my life because I had no way of seeing that what they were going through was something that they couldn't just change in their life. You know, come on, get over it. You know, how long do you want to sing that song to yourself? You know, lots of self-pity, lots of this, lots of that. Okay, take a look, get out of it, do something different. And I can remember one time, my wife was in a very bad way. She was hurting. She was desperate. And I said, honey, I'm going to work. I got ministry to do.
Hello.
We got a need here. We need ministry. See, but when I got sick.
Oh.
You know, when I got sick, when I got crippled, when I came to the place where I felt like I was dying, man, it changed me. It broke me. I came to realize that just because I was sick and just because I was hurting, that I couldn't change that situation. I didn't have the power. I couldn't pull myself out of that situation. Anybody ever been there? Don't make me feel alone. When you get to that place, you realize in your heart of hearts, no matter how hard you try, that you can't do it. But you know, God will move in your life. God is into the impossible. I have learned about God possibilities. After having come back from the dead, I have learned about God possibilities. See, the thing was, and this is a pretty dangerous thing that happens in the body of Christ, is that we were a part of a very powerful church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'd graduated from Oral Roberts University. I did all the right things. I went to the right school. I married the right girl. Went to work for the right church. Had the right doctrine. The right car place at the church, you know, because that's real important at a big church. And then had the right seating, which is important in the big church. You know, and I knew all the right people. I was on the right path. I was in the right place. And then it all began to crumble. Isn't that interesting how that can happen? All of that success, how could that be? You know, isn't it supposed to be getting bigger and bigger and better and better? Isn't that the way the American gospel goes? Did you buy that book? Me too. I took mine back. Yeah, I marked in there in big red letters, it don't work, man. Oh, when it begins to crumble on you, where do you go for help? Who do you call? See, and my life spiraled. I went from a master's degree in counseling, an undergraduate degree in theology, working on the PhD, and had my big position and all this stuff going on, had my psychology, my theology, whichever one you needed, I would pull off of the shelf. You know, let me know. I can write you a prescription. I had it. More like it had me. I was possessed by it. It controlled me. And all that you see, even if it's on TV, ain't real. Sometimes we're really good salesmen. And it's very dangerous. And I caution you. I caution you. Days ahead in the tests that come, you'll see the difference. The real will survive. And then basically what he says, when he shakes it, that's right. And so when I crashed and I got sick and I started going through my thing and the doctors couldn't figure it out and this one couldn't help me here and I had this one pray for me here and I knew who was who, so I gave who a call and who prayed for me and who didn't do me a bit of good. You know, I knew them. I called them. And they came and they prayed. And I got worse. And worse. And this doctor poked me, and this one poked me, and that one cost this, and this one cost that, and this one. You know, so I called who I knew. Do you hear that? I mean, I was so desperate. I called whoever I knew. Because these are the people that I hung out with, and this is where I lived, and this is what I believed. The most dangerous and the most powerful thing that you have in your life is what you believe. It can be the most dangerous thing because you can be absolutely blind to the fact that the road is out. And there could be somebody with the orange flag in his hand going, road out, road out, road out, but you can't see him. You know why? Because you are in control. You got the wheel, and it's your deal. You're doing your thing. You're driving your car. You're driving your life. You got it under control. I mean, God is a quiet time to you. I've heard this. You want to get to know God? Find some quiet time. My experience with God is more like an invasion. You know, this is like Normandy. I mean, He comes in, whoosh! And then you go, whew, you know, I need to experience Him all together and be connected with Him and full of Him and breathing with Him and walking with Him. There's a big difference. Let us pray, you know. Come on. Is that working for you? Are you seeing things in your life change as a result of that? Most of us aren't. If you want God to change you, pray the prayer. Get me, God. Stop holding back. Get me. There's some theology for you. Get me. Change me. It made a difference in my life. Because all those little faith prayers and all this little stuff that was happening when I got down at that place was not working. I had big devils in my life. I needed somebody to come in and tell me the truth. I needed somebody to come into my life that had compassion on me and wasn't worried about offending me and would look square in my eye and say to me, "You are in idolatry to yourself." Get you out of the way and see what God can do. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. You know you're stuck on you because you believe you more than you do God. I did. And it nearly killed me. And I'm thankful for the wake-up call. Because I would have hated to have gotten to the end of my life and known that most of my life was a pretend game. I mean, I want to know that I really represented Him. I want to be like my daddy. I want to know that when I leave this planet, if they don't remember my name, at least they'll remember His. See? And there has to be an exchange in our lives in order for us to get to that place. Do you agree with that? I put some water up here somewhere. Is this helping anybody? See, Jeremiah says this in Jeremiah 2, verse 13. He says this, "For my people have committed two evils, or two sins. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed themselves broken cisterns that can't hold the water." In essence, we forsake God to become God, to be in control. In essence, we forsake God to become God, to be in control. And you say, "Well, oh, you don't know me. I go to so-and-so church. I'm a good person." It's interesting that when they questioned Jesus and they said, "Good master," he said, "Who is good but the Father? So how do you rank? Where do you hold?" You know? They said, "We're good people. I help a lot of people. I do this. I do that." So you're basing it on what you do? You're basing your life on what you do? You've got to be kidding me. Have you measured your life to the life of Christ? Have you seen how incomplete your efforts are? See, I wish that someone would have given me this. I wish that someone would have said to me, "You are in a performance game. It's a lot of pretense, and it looks really good, but it's just fluff." See, the reason that we're not experiencing the supernatural evidence of God's presence in our lives is not because we have bad theology. It's because we are not in a place of participating with God and learning to yield to the movement of His Spirit. In this house tonight, God spoke prophetically. Did you receive it? Did that word come into your soul and change you? If you received a prophetic word that went forward tonight in this house, and you didn't let that word change you, is it God's fault?
No.
See, God is speaking. God is moving. God wants to change you. That ain't the issue. The issue is our stubbornness. The issue is our resistance to God. And you know, sometimes the resistance is self-pity. You know, I minister to people, and I mean, my heart goes out to them. I ministered to a woman in Tucson, Arizona. She called us by phone, and she was in deep, deep pain. She was living in a 3,500 square foot home, and she could not use but one room in the house. A lot of pain. Misery. Husband left her. Biological family left her. No friends, nothing. All she could do was pay somebody to go get her water and go get her food. That's it. That's all she had. She couldn't even drive her own car to fill it up with gasoline. And I began to minister to her. And I began to talk to her. And I began to just walk with her in her life about the stuff that's going on inside of her. And see, the first month of conversation was whether or not she could trust me. You realize that compassion means to reach in and pull out? It doesn't mean, "Oh, you poor baby. I'm so sorry for you. You're such a good little boy, and your life has been so hard on you. Can I hold you a minute?" No. That ain't going to help a woman who's dying. It's, come out of that. Let me draw you into a deeper place. Let me show you the river of God. Let me reveal to you the light of His glory. See, what we're looking for is somebody to huddle around this mess that we've made of life. He ain't going to do it. God may meet you in the pit, but He ain't going to hang out with you there. You may have furniture and all kind of stuff decorated in your pit, but God ain't interested in your entertainment center. He wants to draw you out. You follow me? 9 months later, this woman who couldn't drink water from her own spigot has moved to Emory and bought a house in Emory, driving herself back and forth to the store, shopping, eating out. She won't hardly cook for herself anymore. She loves to go. She's eating out and driving and shopping and buying clothes and doing stuff. So she thought she would never do again. And if all I had done was said, I'm so sorry. The pain, the agony of living that life of misery. At some point, somebody has got to tell us the truth. You have forsaken the living God. The reservoir of God is flowing. He's moving. He's doing something. It's now. The kingdom is here in our lives. If you want it, say yes.
Yeah.
Whoa. See? I bought a book at an airport about 3 months ago. You have to get yourself a copy of this. You'd love this. Actually, I thought about you when I bought it. It says on the front, it's a yellow book. It's like a yellow school bus cover. And it's everything is yes or something like that. And this guy has just gone around taking a survey of how often we use the word no. You know? And basically what he did is he found out that most people are just flat out negative. Doesn't matter how good the package is, we're going to say, well, that ain't going to work either. You know? But in some way, he has created this yes. And so what I have learned, my responsibility is to give God a willing will. That's it. A willing will is going to open the door to the transforming power of God to come flooding in, bringing change into my life. When was the last time you sat down with the Lord and you said, no matter what, you had a Glenn Miller experience, no matter what, Lord, don't care where my health is. See, he didn't have to come out here from California. He had health problems. Don't matter where my health is. Don't matter where my finances are. Doesn't matter where my kids are. Doesn't matter what my reputation is. I'm going to say yes to you. I'm going to walk right in the path that you have designed for me. If I don't understand it, I'm just going to fall forward. The best I can do, somehow I am going to crawl into your will. When was the last time you had that kind of conversation with God? When was the last time you said to Him, I believe your word is absolutely true, spoken and written, it is mine, I'm going to possess it, I'm going to live it, I'm going to experience it, it is going to be mine. Amen. I will. I will. Will you do it? Will you join me in that place? Okay. I'm starting to get a few converts. Now, the challenge is, God is not condemning you because of your need. He's not condemning you because of your lack. As you read the scripture in Jeremiah, he's not condemning you because there's a need. He's not condemning you because you're thirsty. He's not condemning you because you have a call and a purpose on your life. God is not condemning you. The condemnation that we experience is because we want to be in charge of how we do what we do. Listen, when I was sick and I was tired and I was angry and I was frustrated about all the stuff that took place in my life, this church that I worked for 15 years collapsed. The man who was my mentor walked away from the faith. Walked away. Just walked away. And I said to myself, what have I invested my life in? I mean, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I was snatched out of hell. A man took me off of the street, sent me to Oral Roberts University, paid my way to go to school. So my whole initial experience was supernatural. And I spent 15 years in the ministry doing everything that I was told to do. And then the bottom just, it's gone. What do you do then? You start blaming people. Okay. It's Get Real Ministries for a reason, ain't it? You start blaming people. It was his fault. And it was really her fault. I know it was her fault. You know. And this one said this, and this one did this. You know. I learned something. We are both victims of sin and agents of it also. Oftentimes, what happens to us is we get wounded. Very real wounds. What I went through was painful. Don't wish it on anybody. But what I realized was, is I took my pain and I began to twist it in such a way that it became my way of making my statement in life. And even when I was sick and angry, in my mind, I would say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. Oh, you don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's like to have 102 temperature 24 hours a day, be able to sleep 2 hours a night, have to sleep propped up in a pillow of sweat and get up out of the bed, go take a shower and you've only slept, but then you have to go to all these doctors and they're poking you and doing all this stuff and making me pay all this money. You don't know what it's like. Can I pray for you? Oh, sure. You think it'll do any good? Am I alone? Please tell me I'm not. See? What happens is we get into the blame game. We begin to defend our sickness. We begin to defend our weakness. Because many times when life goes that bad, you probably did what I do. As I start really getting down on me. Man, I've always been a failure. What a song you sing here. I'm not a failure. That's a powerful song. And that's what I thought I was. Because see, that's what I was taught I was as a kid. So when I realized it as an adult, the two went together. I thought, I had all this education, but I guess at the core, I really am just a failure. All I've done is miss God all my life. And all this mess that I'm in now, it's just my fault. I'm sick. It's my sin that caused all this sickness and all this stuff. You know, even if you find out what the root of your problem is, sometimes that condemnation of trying to get out from under that can be so heavy. I mean, just because you got the insight as to what is wrong, it doesn't empower you. I mean, that thing feels like a lead weight. It's like, that sin produced this. How do I get out of that? You know? Because many times we don't understand that even in those situations, the grace of God still works. See? The atonement is what? It's completely complete. It ain't lacking. And just because I failed, just because other people failed me, does not mean that the gospel is now somehow unable or unable to help me or meet me in my stuff. Does that make sense to you? When you understand that, you see why that rhema word that God will give you in your desperate need, He will give it to you. God will meet you. You know, the gospel is still good news. Huh? For my people have committed two evils. The question for yourself is, how do you go about getting those things taken care of in your life? How do you deal with those things? See, Galatians 3 is very powerful. 3:3 says this, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, do you now perfect yourself in the flesh? He goes on, and in verse 5 of chapter 3, he says, listen, how do the miracles happen? By keeping the law or the movement of the Spirit? It's the movement of the Spirit. If you want to see the miracles, at some point, you have got to realize that Jesus paid the price for all of the penalty, the consequences, and the laws that produced all those things in your life and the disobedience even in your life. Now, you're really too quiet for me all of a sudden. That's where you say, yeah, good, I like that. High five, brother. I can't get no help in here. Somebody. Okay? When you begin to realize that the atoning death of Jesus not only fixed the issue of eternity for you, but it fixed the issue of consequence in your life. And that if you absorb that into your life, spirit, soul, and body, it will make a huge difference. A huge difference. My life is a testimony of how the wrong can turn out to be right. Anybody?
Yes.
How the wrong can turn out right. See? It's amazing what, I don't have time to go into that tonight, but it's amazing what the Lord delivered me out of. Physical, emotional, sexual abuse as a child into my teens. The pain, the misery, the nightmares, the trauma, the torments, the things that I lived through as a child. And I'm telling you tonight that when I lay my head on the pillow, I have peace in my heart. I don't dream about those things anymore. I'm no longer controlled by those things. You know, I went into counseling. You know why I went into counseling? To fix myself. And when you study all those books, you know what you find out? You are really messed up. $60,000 later, I went, oh my gosh, I am messed up. I'm in every one of these pages, and I know my cousins are in here. Look at this. These people are crazy. We're all in here. Our whole family's in here, you know. Gosh. The wrong can become right. It can be. God can do it. Now, the reason that change is difficult is because you learn as a child these patterns, these things that you think are going to change you. And I learned because I was an orphan as a child. And an orphan, what he learns to do is to trust himself. You said it very well earlier today, Jerry. What we do is we learn to trust ourselves. Because the world around us is untrustworthy. I remember walking down the steps of my parents' home and I said to myself, I will never let anybody else hurt me like this. Now, that sounds like a pretty reasonable belief. But when you think about it, you even have to distance God. Because in that moment, as an orphan, and I might add a self-imposed orphan, what you have decided is that the only one who can protect you when the chips are down and things are tough is you. In that state, you are responsible for your own destiny. And so, when life crashed and everything went bad, and all I could think about is that, you know, because I'm a worker. I like to do things. I like to make things happen. I like to see stuff going on, you know. If you aren't busy, act busy, you know. It's like, just try to do something. You know, it's like, it's a disease. And so I'm in that mode, and there's nothing I can do to fix it. I can't get out. The orphan can't fix himself. And Daddy showed up. Can I tell you, he came after me. I didn't know how to go after him. Daddy showed up. And he said, I am your father. And you are my son. That simple statement changed the course of my life. And when he began to show me that even in my misery and even in my struggle, that he had a plan. See, that's why so many people need this place. Because the world is constantly in this battle. And it's places like this that become a safe harbor for people to come and work it out. That's why the enemy attacks you so much and tries to keep it from happening. You see that? But it's in the context of that love and that compassion. You know what I love about the story of Peter? after he has forsaken the Lord, stuck that big old foot in his mouth one more time. What I love about that story is here is Jesus in the resurrected form standing on the shoreline, and Peter needs a good whooping. Don't you know he needed a good whooping? I mean, he forsaked the man. He needed somebody to get in his face and say, "What were you doing?" You know? But what did he do? He blessed him. He said, "Hey, boys, throw that net on the other side." And when all those fish started coming in, he knew it was the heart of his master. He knew it. Every time God has reconciled me in my life, it starts with a blessing, not a whooping. God ain't into whooping you. He's into blessing you. He's into drawing you in and loving on you and creating inside of you all kinds of ooey gooey good feelings. I have to give it to you as I understand it, okay? And the Lord will keep drawing you and keep pulling you back and keep pulling you back. You know what? Sometimes your mind, your big brain gets in the way. You know too much. Be careful. Be careful. You know too much. Let Him love you. Has somebody ever come up to you and tried to hug you and you refused it? You just weren't in the mood. That's, you know? Why are we like that? Because we believe we are unlovable. And I do a teaching back there. I called it the unholdable child. That unholdable child was me. One day I picked up my 3-year-old, Darcy. She's now 6. And she was a squiggly little thing. You know, always doing stuff. I picked her up. I want a little daddy time. You know. She squiggled all out of my arms, walked away, and I said, forget you. All right. No, I didn't say that. I thought to myself, gosh, can I get a little kiss, a little peck, a little something? She wasn't into it that day. She wanted to play with her toys like most 3-year-olds do. And the Holy Spirit said, "You're just like that sometimes. I want to hold you. You want to be busy." And I learned, learning to be holdable is the key to inner healing. Healing of the soul, healing of the traumas. You want the deep, deep pain to go away? Let Him hold you. You say, "How does He do that?" Because He just begins to wrap around you His Holy Spirit, and He speaks these words of life, and they go deeper and deeper, and they absorb all that pain up out of your body and out of your soul. It is so powerful. But see, if you're in the way, and it doesn't line up with your theology, and it doesn't line up with the way you think it ought to happen, then what you're going to do is you're going to push that plate away. And that could have been your manna for the day. Isn't that interesting? Holy Spirit, help us. Now, what's going to happen to us is if we continue on these paths and we continue doing our, you know, our push, our constant rigorous stuff, and we have to be in control, and we're going to change our life by a diet, and we're going to change our life by this success course. Please tell me I'm not the only one that stayed up way too late and ordered that junk on TV that said I was going to, you know, do all this stuff just right, and then my life was going to be so successful that someday somebody was going to put a camera on me and say, "How did you make that $200 million? Well, you know, it's pretty easy, really. Come on. You know? I mean, look at the stuff that you have tried to do to change things in your life. You move this piece of furniture over here. You move this piece of furniture over here. Oh, let's bring the sofa in a little closer this way. There, we're changed now. All better." Just because you rearrange the furniture doesn't mean that you have changed. Now, it's okay to rearrange the furniture. But at some point, you've got to let God penetrate you. That's a big word. Letting God penetrate you. Letting Him penetrate deep into the heart. Who gets to penetrate you? Who really gets to speak into your life? Who do you let talk to you about your life? Or are you one of those people that when people start talking to you, you get ruffled real easy? Oh, you obviously haven't seen the wall of accolades and degrees and plans and all the stuff that I've done. You should be listening to me. See, think about it for a second. Somebody needs to be able to penetrate you. The Holy Spirit, in order for Him to fill you, must be able to penetrate you. If God's got a direction for your life, He needs to be able to penetrate you. I had a guy come see me the other day who has seen millions and millions of dollars go through his hands. He's been a part of all kinds of businesses and gotten involved in all kinds of stuff. And to this day, he has absolutely nothing to show for it. Keeps landing in the place of just broke and nothing works. And this guy gets wealthy and this guy has this experience and nothing works. And I said, tell me something. When you go to God, what do you pray? How do you pray? What do you say? See, what we found out is that his belief was really simple. I do my best, God does the rest. You know, that flies in certain circles. I do my best, God does the rest. You know, so like, you got God on your back? Are you carrying him or is he carrying you? But it sounds like to me that he kind of has to follow your steps, not the other way around. And what we discovered is that he went into all of these plans with ideas and stuff that he knew that he could do and twist this dial and make this happen here and, you know, get more credit cards in this direction and do all this kind of stuff and this would work here and, you know, this will work because we know this, the people really will buy this and all. Before you know it, it's really a me-centered way of living. See, so many times the reason you're not seeing the fruit of God is because your ideas haven't come from Him. They come from us. We're not seeing the movement of God. We're not seeing the change of God. We're not seeing the fruit of God because the stuff is coming from us. And he and I sat down and he began to cry and weep about his life. He thought, I've done this to my family and I've done this to my kids. And a deep place of repentance came into his life. And he said, I'm not going to move on another business deal. I'm not going to engage in another partnership. I'm not going to do anything until I have that rhema, clear rhema word from God. Amen. See, it makes a huge difference in our lives. All the world's different. See, Jesus said in Luke 9, if you don't deny yourself and take up that cross and learn to follow after Him. All of us are followers. You know, the way we set our ministry up is a team. It's not Philip Fields Ministries. That would make me be the center. I'm not interested in being the center. I know what that life looks like. Do you know what that life looks like? Look over your shoulder. Look at the accomplishments in the path that you've experienced thus far. If you want to continue to see what you see over your shoulder again, keep yourself at the center. See, we're going to be handling people's lives. And the healing that needs to take place, it needs to come out of a unified environment in which there is the accountability and support for those powerful breakthroughs that people need. You can't have that from an individual. One man can't do it. When God moves in the earth, He releases it to many. Glenn just got through saying it. One man doesn't have it all. And in the body of Christ, we have a very competitive nature. It's really sad. Who gets to be at the front table and with this guy and with that guy? Well, oh, I'm of Apollos, and well, I'm of Mr., you know, he doesn't believe what I go on. And so, in order for me to do this, I got to stay here. And all. How did we get here? See? In order for the change to come, Are you going to be receptive to what God wants to do in your life? In order for the transforming change to come in your life, are you willing for God to do whatever He needs to do to bring forth in your life His presence and the fruit of that presence? See, I have ministered to a lot of people around healing issues because I know what it's like to face uncurable diseases and things of that nature in your life. I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like to read those healing scriptures over and over and nothing changes. And I know what it feels like to, even after deliverance, still not have healing. I know what it feels like that, you know, even after years of trying things and exploring and trying diets and doing all this kind of stuff, see? The key to restoration is rest. If you can't rest in what God is trying to do in your life, then you're going to continue to repeat the same patterns over and over. I mean, you can actually begin to go after what God promises you and get into striving trying to get it. You really can. And what I find is that God wants to speak a fresh, real word personally to you. I couldn't get healed off of somebody else's word. It had to be personal to me. And what I realized was that, yes, this principle applied. Did I need deliverance? I needed big deliverance. Did I need healing prayer? Yes, I needed healing prayer. Did I need faith? Yes, I needed faith. Did I need to deal with something in the past? Yes, I need to do all that. Do you see why I was so screwed up? I needed all of it. And what I realized was that God had a timing and a place for it all to unfold. See, the difference in what Jesus did on the shore with Peter and what we find in the church sometimes is that many times what we're offering people is counsel, and a lot of that counsel comes from what we've stored up here. What Jesus offered Peter when He began to restore him was a rhema word that set him up to be a part of the greatest move that we've ever experienced in the church. Do you love me more than these? That's an odd question, isn't it? For somebody who's betrayed you. It's a very odd question, but that question was a rhema word. And each time He spoke into Peter's life, He released life and broke off the past. See that? And that's what we need, is for God to speak to us on that level. And when God spoke to me and said, I will heal you, I knew He would heal me. I knew He would change me. But I realized now that the healing promise was not just some sort of nebulous thing that you might get to experience if the fortune wheel lands the ball in your slot. You know? It's more like my willingness to come into agreement with what He pronounced for my life. It's what we call appropriation in the Word of God. And when I came to that place of brokenness, breakthrough begins with brokenness. And in that brokenness, I was able to come to a place of saying yes to Him and opening myself on that level. And then as He spoke it in, a seed of it got in. Seed of it. Do you realize that seeds contain within them miracles? The most important parable of the New Testament is about seeds. Three soils grow it. Three soils don't grow it. One does. Do you understand that? And as that seed got inside of me, a little bit of it grew. And then another seed got inside of me, a little bit more of it grew. You know, and before we know it, I've got something to hang on to. There's something growing inside of me. I know it ain't me because it keeps telling me good news. And it keeps getting a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. And before you know it, I've got something to feed on. But see, what happens to many of us, a little word like tonight was spoken into your life. That's a seed. You can take that seed, and feed on that. Or you can take all the doubt, misery, and unbelief and all the prognosis, diagnosis, and other stuff and feed on all that. Where's that going to take you? Down, further and further and further. You stare at this flesh long enough and you'll go, whoa, man, there's something wrong with that. Put it under the microscope. It ain't pretty. But if you let God speak and He releases His Word into your soul and you begin to feed on that Word, it begins to change you more and more and more and more. And you begin to see the possibility of what God has destined for your life. It becomes real to you. And it becomes explosive. More and more and more. It's amazing. It's amazing how He does it. Stand up if you would, please. There is a difference in being changed and trying to create change. How many of you want to be changed? I want God to change me more and more and more. If there's a need for healing in your life, there's something missing. There's a lack. There's a deprivation. God needs to change something in your life. Sometimes it'll come in the form of a miracle. Sometimes, like in my case, because I think of the thickness of my skull, I needed many lessons. And so God needed to give it to me over time. And I'm not saying if it's been that way for you, you've got a thick skull, you know, condemnation, you know, that's issues work. No, just kidding. But if there's that need in your life, there's a deep pain. There's something that's gone wrong. You can't fix it. It keeps turning out bad. God wants to give you no less than a seed to begin to bring the change. No less than a seed. No less. You have to see that. If you will be receptive to that seed, it will bring much fruit in your life. The kingdom of God is about fruitfulness. Not fruitiness, fruitfulness. It's a big difference. And what the Lord is doing in the earth today is like an awakening. You know, it's really neat how it's happening. And just as we're in very critical times because of economy and other things that even Glenn was talking about, there is seed available for us to take us through it. I have absolute confidence in God. No matter what happens, He will take us through it. No matter what it is. Let me show you one thing. We have been done a disservice to be told that we need to live for God. You can't do it. All my life as a Christian, I was told, live for God, work harder, study more, show yourself approved. Keep on, man. Come on. Work, 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 work. Discipline, discipline, discipline. I discovered I was created to live from Him. When I learned to take manna off of His table as He offers it to me, it becomes food for my soul. That's what Jesus said to the enemy. He said, I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. How could He have that connection? Because it was a spirit-to-spirit connection while He lived in a human body. Learning to live from Him is about allowing Him to speak into my soul and being changed into this greater capacity to carry what He speaks into me. God wants to speak to you. No matter where you're at or what you're going through, what you're facing, the thing you need is God's Word in your soul. The first question I ask people when I do ministry with them, especially when I've got time to sit down and talk to them, is what has God spoken to you? Because I want to know if there's anything in the pipeline coming down from God. That's the most valuable thing. Because the person that is in need is always going to feed on what they think or believe that God has spoken. That's where we go. And as you learn that, as God gives it to you, it will be greater and greater and greater life to you. Listen to Glenn's testimony. 37 years ago, when he showed up here, he was in a desperate place, desperate financially, desperate in his health. Over the course of 37 years, God has given him greater and greater restoration.
Amen.
Wow! That's a testimony.
Yeah, amen.
We as believers have witnessed how God can change a man.
Yeah.
Wow! That's what this place represents. It's what it really represents. The change. It's powerful. And tonight, Father, I pray. I pray for your people. I've done the best I know how. I've shared my life with them. And Father, as I've done in the past, I ask you to move by the power of your Holy Spirit. I ask you to come upon your people and demonstrate this word. This word of change and transformation. Let it be real to them tonight, Lord. Change your people. I know in this crowd, Lord, that people have traveled from near and far, hungry for a fresh word, hungry for a touch, hungry for a demonstration of your divine power into their limited resources. Some are hurting. Some, their lives are on the line. Come now, Holy Spirit, and give them exactly what they need. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask you in just a moment to come forward if you're needing God's touch in your life. And that could be many things. It could be anything from physical healing to direction for your life. Whatever it is that you need, you come and God will minister to you. And Father, I believe that even those, and I pray this especially over you as a group, I pray, Father, that even those who have incurable diseases in their bodies, who have pain that won't go away, who have issues that just seem to never get better, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would release the power of your Holy Spirit to do miracles, to change lives, to heal bodies, to set people free, Lord, as only you can do it. I will stay here until the last person has been prayed for. And so I ask you to come tonight. Please come if you have a need. There's no condemnation that you come. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you've met all of these needs before they ever even came here. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You just keep coming and stand up here anywhere you want to stand. I'm going to ask my wife and some of my team members, is that okay, Glenn, if they join me to help pray? Ish and anybody else that's here on the staff and team, if you want to come help us pray for people. We ask those that are here, if you want to remain in prayer and continue to pray for those who are here tonight. I believe God is going to touch you in such a powerful way. Thank you, Lord. It's the grace of God that changes us. It's the grace of God that heals us. It's His grace and His touch. And Father, tonight we just ask you to send your anointing to break the yoke and touch all of those who have come tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.